morning as we begin to look. We'll be headed toward Acts chapter 19. And before we do, we're going to make our confession. This stuff works.
Amen.
This stuff works. I love it. You can't lose with the stuff I use. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can't lose with the stuff I use. Everybody say, you can't lose.
You can't lose.
With the stuff I use.
Amen.
This is the stuff right here. This is the, let's make a confession. Everybody say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'm about to receive the indestructible, incorruptible, ever-living seed, the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. In Jesus' name. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Now then, let's get into the Word this morning. I want you to let the Word feed you today. Let the Word be your nourishment, your nutrition today. Let it be there. Because of the Word, I have Jesus in my life. Because of the Word, you have Jesus in your life. Let me say it like this, recognizing I only have a few minutes and I can't preach everything in the world this morning. And I think you understand where I'm coming from. But this Word takes the place of Jesus. In other words, this Word is Jesus revealed to me. Without the Word, I wouldn't have a revelation of Jesus. I would not know who He is, what He wants to do in my life, or anything about Him. And so my knowledge of the Lord, of course we praise, we worship, we pray. But my knowledge of the Lord is primarily centered around this Word, for it brings the revelation of Jesus to me. It makes the unseen seen. I can see clearly now.
Amen.
Amen? Whether it rains or not, I can still see clearly now. I can see clearly now. The thing that makes Jesus more real to me is my meditation. Meditation is like a visit from Jesus. Somebody said, I wish Jesus would come and knock on my door and visit me and talk to me. Meditation, your meditation on the Word of God is your visit with Jesus. That makes it like Jesus has dropped in on you, has come close, come nigh to you, and has come to fellowship with you. He's knocking on your door. Same. And so, I have the Word, but I don't only read the Word. I don't only hear the Word. Well, we do both of those things. I meditate the Word. We think on these things, as Mary did. We ponder them in our hearts. It becomes alive. It becomes real. It becomes Jesus to me. Everybody say, the Word is.
The Word is.
Jesus to me.
Jesus
to me. So, the question really becomes our life is how much do we meditate the Word? And in so doing, what power does the Word have in our life? Here is the thing. The Word of God prevails. The Word of God prevails. If we look at the weather report, sometimes they will say the winds are prevailing out of the north, prevailing out of the south. It doesn't mean that that's the only wind that's out there. There may be a little trying to come in from the east or the west or other direction. But the prevailing wind, the wind that is dominant, is coming from this direction. The Word of God is a prevailing Word. When you begin to speak it into your heart and your life, read it and hear it and meditate on it, you may have other words in your life. You may have what Mama and M said.
Yeah.
You know who Mama and M is? Mama and going down to Mama and M's house. Everybody been to Mama and M's house? It's not M and M, Mama and M's. Well, it may have been them that said something to it. It may have been what a school teacher said to you.
Amen.
It may have been, you know, what somebody you didn't know said to you. And didn't even know you said to you. It could be anything along those lines that could come into your life and be there. trying to influence you, trying to change your life, change your... There's other words that are out there. Nobody denies that they are. I don't know if I told this. I think I mentioned it Wednesday. But Cheryl and I were in the Walmart store just a couple of weeks ago, I guess. And it was, I'm thinking, a Tuesday evening after music practice. We went by and picked a few things. And Walmart, I don't know why they've got 32 registers. With only two people that can run them. But what you going to do with Lawrence? You know? What else you going to do? And so anyway, we were there waiting about six deep in that line. There was this little lady in front of us. Lord, help her. Lord. She had to price check half the things in her buggy. And, you know, wait on this and this and that and the other and all kind of other special things that were going on in that register. I don't know what all was going on. And this other little lady, the register was working with her and trying to do the best that she could. And they'd come up with this and they'd come up with that. And then finally got to the end after, you know, six people were deep in that line of men. And we'd been there like 15 minutes waiting for her to check out. And she got to her last six cans of vienna sausage that wouldn't stand. So bless her heart, they took the plastic off of the cans and it still wouldn't stand. Rubbed that plastic over four or five times, tried to punch in the numbers, it didn't do it. Called with this person, that person, and finally took the cans out and tried to scan them one at a time. And the lady was there said, it's $3, you know, you don't believe me, you can go back. And boy, she just got real bent out of shape. And she's been there safely before that, but boy, she started having some choice words come out of her mouth. She really did. I haven't heard that kind of language in a long time. Since nightclub days. She really was, I mean, she was letting it roll. And then, right in the midst of that, she turns and looks at me, and I'm right behind her, and the rest of the people in line, and she told that lady at the cash register, said, you know what? I'm not the only one to cuss you out. Everybody in this line to cuss you out. And I heard that kid say, I said, I won't cuss her out. I won't cuss her out. Not me. I'm not going to cuss her out. I don't cuss. But the prevailing wind, she tried to say, was cursing. But it wasn't the prevailing wind where I was at. I'm changing the wind direction. Amen? When I got up to the thing, I talked to the little lady there behind the cash. I said, look, don't take it personal. Maybe she's having a bad day. Don't let her problem be yours. You do the best you can do and let it go. Don't let it in your heart and spirit. She was about to cry. What happened? Somebody else went. Was blowing her away. Some of the word was prevailing in her heart and life. So the question that comes to you now, what do you let prevail in your life? Now, in addition to that, we're dealing with something here that's supernatural. Here's what I found out. The Word of God, when heard often enough, when heard again and again, the Word of God, when spoken to us, has power in itself to prevail over every other word in your life. And so you can be born in this life thinking you're no good, thinking you're nothing, thinking you never amount to anything. And that could be your dominating thoughts in your life. Good, I'm not much. I can't make it. I'm obsessed. I never win. You can have all that going on. And the Word of God can begin coming your way, speaking to you, telling you who you are in Christ Jesus, telling you who God has made you to be. And I have found that the Word of God is so strong, it is so powerful, it will prevail over all the rest of thinking in my life, and it will change my mind. Scripture calls it renewing the mind. It will renew my mind so that I don't think like I used to think. And because of that, I don't talk like I used to talk. And because of that, I don't act like I used to act. And because of that, I've got a lot different kind of things in my life now than what I used to have, and I like these things better. I like love, joy, peace, and happiness, all the good things, a lot better than all the turmoil that was going on. Well, there is a prevailing word. Everybody say prevailing word. Look at Acts chapter 19, verse 20. In Acts chapter 19, verse 20, the scripture says that the New Testament saints begin to preach the gospel in the book of Acts. It says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Everybody say prevailed.
Prevailed.
The word of God grew. And as the word of God grew, It prevailed. Mightily grew the Word of God, and it prevailed. Some of us, you know, listen, I am glad you're here. Great crowd. I am glad you're in the house of the Lord here on this Sunday. And I'm going to do my best to just inject as much Word of God in you as I possibly can today in the time allotted that we have for this meeting today. But you know what? If you leave this place today, no matter what I've been able to say or at the best of my ability, as humble as that can be, coming from the Word of God, as great as that can be, no matter what I've been able to do, if you leave this place and this Word does not continually grow in your heart the rest of this week, and you start planting something else in your life after this, and you get in the car and flip on the radio and there comes a new Word for you, and then you go to wherever you're going to eat at home or restaurant, whatever you're going to do, and you're there and you listen to people around the table eating with you and talking, that kind of thing, there's another Word for you. And then the rest of this day, your body may begin to speaking something to you and talking to you. Does your body talk to you around 3 o'clock or so and sort of want to close your eyelids? Does your body talk to you?
Yeah.
On Sunday afternoon? And your body may talk to you a little bit. And then you know what? You may look at some television and it might talk to you. And you get up and you go to work tomorrow and work starts talking to you. And the people you work with, they talk with you. And then the news starts talking to you. And they all this kind of stuff. What is growing in your life? If you've got more of the world growing than the Word of God growing, the world is going to prevail in your life. And so it is a prevailing Word, but it must be a growing Word in order to prevail. Word has to grow. It's not a one-shot only Sunday kind of deal. I love you and I appreciate you and I thank God for the compliments and the blessings that sometimes folks share with me. But when people say something like, well, I just can't wait to get through those Sunday. Oh, I've been so dead tired all week. Oh, I got to get to church. I'm glad you got to get to church. And thank God you don't go to the hospital if you've been hit by a train. Okay, I understand that. I understand that. But your life will not be that way.
Amen.
I mean, come on into church. Let's rejoice. And yeah, let's be glad to get to church. But you know what? I'm having church every day of my life.
Yeah.
Why? Because the Word is growing. Yeah. And why? What's happening then? The Word is prevailing.
Yeah.
In the name of the Lord, it is. It's happening in our lives. Now, that scripture, let me read that in the Message Bible. It said, in such ways it became evident that the Word of the Master was now sovereign. The Word of the Master was now sovereign and prevailed in Ephesus. In other words, the sovereignty of the Word of God means that the Word of God was ruling. It was in charge. It was in control. It had prevailed. That's what it means for it to prevail. It becomes the in-charge thing in your life. If you're still in, if tradition is still in charge of your life, then when you come into church, you come in with tradition. You come in and say, well, that's what we've always done. This is the way we've always done it. And doing nothing different, nothing new. You know, all that kind of stuff. And tradition is running your life. If you don't do anything else, go back last week and look at the advice on the internet. That's there, gospeldemonchurch.com, whatever. Go there and get it under media. Click on that, and you'll see the advice that we filmed their ministry to us last week. And look at it. If you want to have tradition broken in your life, look at that. And then you'll only be able to see the first 3 rows here. But you'll see enough because you're going to see the back of Todd Decker. Todd is getting into the advice. Now, he's got the head move. He's into it, man. He is worshiping God. And I thought, well, we need 100,000 Todd Deckers in our church. Because there ain't no tradition going to hold Todd down, are you? Carolina either, right? That's a nothing is. But we need to let go of tradition. Whatever you've got in your life that's been spoken to you the most often tends to prevail. Well, I've always heard this. That's why you're still acting like what you've always heard is true. And what you need to do is stop hearing what you've always heard. Someone talked to me this last week and they were having conflicts at their church where they were at. And they won't talk to them. Well, I'll talk to you. I'm going to show you away from your church. And I didn't. And they said, well, you know, this is what we've always done. This is how we always heard it. So you need to change what you've always heard. Nothing's going to change for you in your life until you change what you're hearing. What you're hearing drops into your heart and into your spirit. It begins to prevail in your life. You must be very careful. That's why Jesus said, take heed what you hear. Be very careful about what you're hearing. There is a prevailing word out there. And whatever you let prevail is going to rule your life. And so if you want trash talk to be your life, let trash talk prevail. It'll become your life. If you want doubt and unbelief, fear and failure to control your life, let it prevail. Let it prevail. It'll be controlling your life if that's what you want. So you've got to make changes in your life that you're going to guard your spirit. Out of your heart are the issues of life, the Bible tells us, Proverbs 4, verse 20. And so you've got to guard everything. I'm not going to let anything in there. I don't want to put any seeds in there. Some of you would do more about picking weeds out of your front lawn than you would about picking the weeds out of our minds. Amen? Amen. And I tell you what, I love you, and I love me a lot more than I love the grass in our front lawn. How about that? So let's get the weeds out of our own mind. All right, now, he said that the Word of God prevailed. It prevailed. Look with me to Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. In Matthew 8 and verse 23, let me show you something. What happens when you see a prevailing word? Now, the best example I know in Scripture is Jesus. Because Jesus really had a prevailing word in his life. The word prevailed above everything else. It prevailed so much that people hated him. Sometimes people won't like you when you really start walking on the Word of God. When you really start living that thing out. They get mad. And they get upset. They don't like you. But it doesn't matter. You've got to let the Word prevail because you're not living for them. You're living for God. And you're going to see things through with Him, not with them. And so, a word in Scripture, prevailing word, one of the things that causes it prevail in our life is when you and I put faith in it. It's when you and I begin to believe. If we're not faithful concerning the Word of God, it's not going to be a prevailing word in our life. Look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. Scripture says, when he was entered to a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. How many likes to be able to sleep through the storm? Verse 25, and his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. They've already got in mind what they're going to do. We're going to perish. And Lord, if you don't save us, we're going to perish. Verse 26, he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Now, let me ask you something. Were not the disciples and Jesus exposed to the same old covenant word? They were, weren't they? I mean, they both attend synagogue and temple worship, and they're involved. They've got access to the word of the Lord. Yet, Jesus himself, when he's there, he gets up and he rebukes the wind when he comes against it. Disciples say it's going to kill us. What are you going to do? I mean, in life, I mentioned just a little bit ago the IRS situation that we had in our lives, and the IRS writes you a letter and say, hey, man, we got you on, we look at you, and we're going to take care of you. And so that's like them saying they're going to do this, and I'm saying, uh-uh, no, you're not. Because I've done everything up and above board and right and honest and true, and you just don't know it. And I'm going to have to explain it to you two or three times so that you can understand it. And I did that. But I didn't immediately back up and get into fear, start whining and crying, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? The IRS going to take everything we got. No, because that wasn't going to happen. I'm taking it the right way because I love my government. But sometimes I have to rebuke the IRS. Don't tell them that right off, you know, unless you're really ready to do it. But they frown on that. But basically, I had to rebuke them in a way that they didn't know they was being rebuked, yet they were. And they come around to see that my way, or the right way, we'll call it. But that's the deal. What do you do in life when real things happen? It's going to kill us. We're going to die. It's all over with now. Or you get up and rebuke that situation. Anything that is against the Word of God, you've got a right to rebuke out of your life.
Amen.
Anything that is against what God says is yours, you have the opportunity and the privilege and divine right to rebuke that thing. Now, look what Jesus said to them. In verse 26, O you of little faith, Why did they not allow the Word of God that was in them, like it was in Jesus, to be able to rebuke the wind? Because they had a little bit of faith. And so if you look at the Word of God, and your idea is that, oh, you know, that's a book of, you know, at least 2,000 years ago, some of it 4,000 years ago, and all this stuff, and Moses, you know, began to pen the Pentateuch about, what, 1,500 years before the cross of Christ. And we just go back there, maybe to 90 AD when John wrote the Revelation, that kind of stuff. And we just look, oh, that's just a historic book, and we're trying to search for the historic Jesus, all this kind of stuff. And that's all it is to you. And, you know, men wrote it, and they did this, and people make mistakes, and all, you know, all these kind of things that people say and do. If that's what you're looking at, you have no faith in the Word of God, the Word won't prevail in your life. You've got to exercise faith toward the Word of the Lord. You've got to give in to it. You've got to allow the Word to come into your life, so much so that you literally say this: whatever I think, if what I think is opposed to the Word, I will change my thinking on the spot.
Amen.
If what I think is contrary to the Word of God, then my thinking has got to go.
Amen.
It has got to change, because the Word of God is true, and I'm going to have faith in the Word. Well, Jesus believed in the Word of the Lord. He believed in the Word that was in Him. We're going to see that just in a moment. And so He's able to get up and rebuke it because he has faith. He acts on what He knows to do, and the winds obey Him as He speaks to those winds. Now, you're there in Matthew. Look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Verse 5, there's another little story there. And here's another one right here. Wow, we really ought to be involved in this for sure. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, when Jesus was entering Capernaum, there came to Him a centurion beseeching Him and saying, "Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." Jesus said, "I'll come heal him." Notice how quickly Jesus does that. All He does is hears the problem. "Hey, my centurion's home, he's sick, he's grievously tormented." Jesus said, "What church did you go to?" "He paid his tithes last week." "You know, Peter." "No, he didn't do that." "He didn't know what church he went to." "How long has he been saved?" "Is he saved?" He didn't ask me those things. As soon as He found out this man was suffering and hurting, Jesus said, "I'll come heal him. I'll come heal him." But you know what some of us do sometimes? We'll hear that, and we'll say something to the Lord about our problem. "Oh, Lord, don't you care?" And we'll want to get, or we'll try to buy it from the Lord. "Oh, God, you know, I've been good to you. If you do this, I'll do this. I'll do something else. Lord, if you just do this, I'll," you know, make all those kind of pledges to the Lord that we don't ever keep. And we make those, trying to get God to do something for us. But you don't have to do that. If you're hurting, God loves you, and He's concerned about your hurting, your pain. He is. And He wants to bring healing your way. Just like He said that. Every time I have something come against me, that's my immediate thought. "Lord God, you know, whatever it would be, if, I don't know, whatever sickness, headache or something like that, or pains, bodies, whatever you might have, those kind of things. My immediate thought is Jesus is on my side. He wants to heal me. He's not contrary to me. He didn't put it on me to teach me something. He's not trying to make me humble or either of those kind of things or none of that stuff. He wants me well."
Amen.
Amen. Everybody say, "God wants me well." Verse 8. The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. I'm a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, he goes. To another, come, he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard it, He marveled and said to them following, "Verily I say to you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in all Israel. And I say to you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way as you have believed." Everybody say, "Believe." "So be it done unto you." And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Somebody said, "Well, what did he believe?" He believed his servant would be healed in the selfsame hour. Because Jesus says, it's not that I'm making this up. Jesus wouldn't say, "Well, here's asking to work." He said, "Well, the way you believe, that's it.
Amen.
That's the way you get it. The way you believe for it, that's what you're going to get." And so his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. That tells me that that's what he believed. And his servant would be healed in the selfsame hour. Somebody says, "How long does it take for me to get healed?" What do you believe it takes for you to get healed? How long do you believe it takes? I mean, you know what? If you can believe it takes a minute or a time of prayer, go ahead and be healed in a minute. If you think it takes an hour, you can wait an hour then. If you think it takes 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, you know, 2 or 3 days, a week, a month, that's up to you if you want to wait that long. But Jesus healed you 2,000 years ago at the cross.
Amen.
And we've already been healed. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so, that's what he believed. But notice, he believed on the word. He believed on the word that Jesus has spoken.
Yes.
Believing, faith is believing something is true, so to speak, but believing is acting on your faith. Believing is literally walking it out just like it is true. Just like it is happening, just like God is doing it even now. Look at John chapter 1. Let me just show you why this is important. I'm going to be with you all day here, but look at John chapter 1. It would be good for us, though, honestly. If we just sat here and talked and shared the word for about 5, 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night, you would go home a different person than you've ever been in your life. The saturation of the Word of God would change you. Remember the first time I went to Gloria Copeland Healing School on Saturday and sat there from that morning about 9 to about 5 or 6 that evening. It changes your life. Love Gloria. She's a wonderful teacher in my Word. But nothing special about Gloria or whatever. It's the Word. It's the Word of God that changes you. Look at John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Everybody say the Word.
The Word.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. With God was God. Remember before when I said to you that the Bible is your understanding, your revelation of Jesus? Is Jesus to you? That's where I'm getting it from. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Now, this is the capital, the Word, the Logos of God. This is referencing the second person of the Trinity that you and I know is Jesus Christ. He is the Word in the beginning. You know what? In the beginning, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, that God created the heavens and the earth in verse 2, it said that the Spirit of God began to move across the face of the waters. And then after that, you hear God said, God said, God said, God said, God said, and it was so, it was so, it was so, and everything was good. That God created and made, spoke by His Word. But you see, the origination of that begins with the flow of the Spirit. Spirit began to move across the face of the waters. And what I learned is this, that the Spirit created the physical. The Spirit created the material. Not the other way around. Some folks say, when I see it, I believe it. They want to touch it, feel it. They want the material first. It doesn't work that way. Your spirit is stronger than your physical. Your spirit can tell your body how to live, how to feel, how to be well and whole, how to be sick and suffering. Your spirit is stronger than your body. We take medications if we're hurting, if we're in pain. We take medications for our body, our physical man. And it works within the body. But you know you have a force inside your body already called your spirit. That is stronger than your body. And if you will get your body or get your spirit where it needs to be in whatever area that you're fighting against or come up against in your body, your spirit will bring healing to your body. Because your spirit is stronger than your body. Now, of course, I'm talking about your spirit as God fills you. And God empowers your spirit. He comes from the inside out. Scripture says we work out our own plan of salvation in fear and trembling before the Lord. The devil comes from the outside, the body, the eyes, what you can see, feel, and touch. That's his entrance into our life. The Bible says in John 4:24, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit. He comes on the inside. And so when we go back all the way back to creation, we're finding that Jesus was there, not in person of being born of a manger, but in the realm of spirit, Jesus was there. And it says, verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. Everything begins with the Word. Everybody say,
everything
begins with the Word.
The Word
is the beginning of whatever you have need of in your life. If you need a miracle in your life, if you need healing in your life, if you need financial blessing in your life, if you need a wholeness of family and home in your life, it begins with the Word of God. That's what's going to make the change. The Word is the seed. You won't have a garden this year unless you plant a seed. And you won't have any garden going on in your own life unless you plant a seed. It all begins with the Word. So in the beginning was the Word. And it says the same as in the beginning with God. And verse 3 says, all things were made by Him. Now notice this. And without Him, was not anything made that was made. Nothing happens without a word. I mean, you can read it, you can digest it, you can, you know, do the proper exegesis here that you can possibly do from verses 1, 2, and 3, but nothing happens without the word. No word, no beginning, no earth, no nothing. It begins with the sowing and the planting of the word of God. And so then, for the word of God to prevail in our lives, we've got to plant it into our lives. We've got to let it grow in our lives. Look at verse 14 of that same chapter that you're in right there. Verse 14, look what it is. Now here's where people get to. Verse 14. And the word, again, there's a capital word, the logos of God. The word was made flesh. The thing is this, the word was made flesh. And he was made flesh so that he might die. So that he might be our sacrifice on the cross. And so that he might rise again for our justification. And so that he might be the Lord God of our righteousness. All those things are incorporated within him becoming flesh, or the incarnation of Christ. And that had to be and must be. And of course we honor that. But what people get hung up on, they still want Jesus to be in the flesh. And the reason being is because they're more comfortable operating in the, what they can see, feel, touch, and taste, and hear. They're more comfortable in that realm than they're in the spiritual realm. Amen?
Amen.
And so what we've got to do is do a reversal here. Rather than living on the outside, we've got to learn how to live on the inside. Because what's on the inside is going to work its way out. And what we see here is Jesus has been made flesh. Notice it said, dwelt among us, we beheld. We saw his glory. And the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now notice what John is saying he saw. They're talking about the flesh man of Jesus. And as wonderful as that is, how many people were there with him the night he went to the cross? How many of these good fellows here that saw his glory, where were they at? Wasn't there, was it? And a lot of people like that today, they're still looking for that fleshly manifestation of God. I want something I can see and touch and feel. Then I'll believe. You way, way behind. The believers have already went way ahead of you and are having it in reality in your life while you're still waiting to see something.
Amen.
That's what I talk about in the morning when I say, come in church, on go. I'm not coming into church on Sunday morning waiting to see if I say she'll lift her hand and she does, I might. Sheila can lift her hand or not lift her hand. That's between her and her God.
Amen.
My worship is between me and my God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen?
That's where we need to be with God.
Yes.
Be at that place. If not a fleshly manifestation of creation. Are you going to have those? Yeah. Because we're flesh. And what's on the inside is going to work its way out. Yeah. But that's not the emphasis. That's not the thing that we major on. It's spirit life with him. And the Word of God is something that we plant into our life. Let me give this last thing. I'm going to close it right here. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And look with me to verse 13. Let me get there. 1 Thessalonians 2, 13. When you make this decision in your life, then this is when your life will change. You know, I don't know, because when I started out and living for the Lord, I had learned a lot of stuff, and I don't know it all now for sure. But I'm still learning, I'm still growing, and I've learned a few things over the years. But I remember when I first started out, you know, there's, I don't know, you just sort of got the idea. You lived in the world, you lived in the flesh, and so everything that you want to see, or you want to see it with your eyes, hear it with your ears, all that kind of stuff. And those kind of things, you want to be, you have fleshly manifestation. But I learned, I think I learned probably on the first fast that I went on, or first long fast that I went on, I learned that the flesh wasn't everything that all of us in church said it was. So when we went to church, we said, Lord, I feel God. Well, I felt God. When the preacher prayed for me, I didn't feel a thing. You didn't feel a thing. Well, are you serving the Lord? How do you feel about your relationship with God? Well, we had that conversation and that talk. It was all about what we felt, what we saw, what we experienced. It was all that kind of stuff. And I remember going on my first fast, a long fast, I went on one of them. And I remember doing that, And I remember during the fast, at the time I thought feelings were supposed to be premier, I found out feelings were dead. Because fasting killed me. It killed my feelings. Because the flesh had no glory about itself. There was no glory in the flesh. The only thing I ever heard in my flesh, and those that fast and others as well, the only thing I ever heard from my flesh was, I want to eat. That's all I ever heard. I didn't hear angels singing. You know what? I didn't see, you know, a chorus of hallelujah. None of that. No donkeys talked to me. The dog didn't even talk to me. All the things that God could have done. No, you know, praying and asking God, if you're here, open the door. No doors open. You ever pray those stupid prayers? If you're here now, God, let somebody walk in right now. They didn't walk in. Pray they call us and we ain't never come. Found out it flesh ain't it. And if you're still trying to live in your flesh, it's not just in church, but everywhere you go, and whatever you do is going to be captivated and motivated by that flesh, then you're not going to have any kind of life at all. You're really not. If you go out into the world and you wait for somebody to lead the way, what kind of life is that? If you go out in the world and they're doing this and you just follow along, and you got no life. Where are you at? Where is your heart and your spirit and your life at? That's where you need to be. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Notice they thank God without ceasing. They never stop. Because, why do they do that? When you receive the word of God, everybody say, I have received the word of God. Which you heard. Hear that? You heard of us. Before it was received, it was heard. Before it was received, it was heard. You received it not as the word of men. In other words, it wasn't like the Apostle Paul said it to you. That's why, you know, sometimes I'm so careful how I say things. Because the Lord knows I love and respect all of the wonderful ministries of God that have planted in my life. And you know, I got their books, I got their tapes, I love men and women of God. But when I hear them, I'm very careful to give them the honor which they are rightfully due. But at the same time, it's like I'm not even listening to them. It's like I'm listening to God.
Amen.
It's like the Lord is speaking.
Yes.
And speaking through them, whomever them may
yes.
be.
Yes.
We honor and love them, of course we do. But it's God that we're hearing through them. And that's what's happening here. You received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth. Here's the real reality of it.
Yeah.
The word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe. Everybody say, the word of God,
works in me
because I believe. Now, if you don't believe, the word's not going to work in you.
Amen.
Even though it is the word of God. That's why two people can experience the same word, the same ministry, the same anointing, the same touch of God, and one walk away as a receiver, and one walk away with nothing. It could be the exact same place. I remember I was in a real estate office many years ago with someone talking to a real estate agent there, and we were talking. We started talking about the things of God. He had a secretary out, right in front of his office. While we were in there, we were talking about this, that, and the other, and man, God's presence was there. I mean, it was just a great time to be there talking about the things of God. And you could just sense God's presence of God. Well, the secretary was out there, wasn't saved, but got saved later on. And later on, I asked her, I said, you know, that time we were there, you remember? She said, yeah, I remember that. We've been getting wild. She said, yeah, I remember that. I said, did you feel the presence of God out there? No, I didn't feel a thing. Yet the presence of God was there. I mean, within 7-8 feet of her. Your experience is primarily a result of your commitment and dedication of your own heart. Now, we can do a lot of things. We can trying to praise it down and pump it down and, you know, get it worship and all that kind of stuff. But it's still going to be yours. You're going to own that thing after it's all over. When you and I stand before God, you're not standing there for me. You'll say, thank God. I'm not standing there for you. Thank God. It's you and you alone that stands there. And whether you open up your heart to Him, to love Him, to believe His Word and act on it, that's all your decision. You can have the same word preached. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, that the word preached did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith in them that received it. Same word preached, but didn't profit because it wasn't mixed with faith. Let me read you this passage. Look at verse 13, what we're looking at. The word of God effectually works also in the belief. Listen to this. Moffat translation says this. The word of God, who himself. Everybody say himself.
Himself.
And why did Moffat translate it that way? Because in the beginning was the word was God, the word was God, and the word became flesh. We know him as Jesus. So when we think about the word of God, we're not thinking about just words on a page. We're thinking about Jesus speaking to us. We're thinking about himself. Everybody say the word of God,
himself.
The word of God himself effectually works also in you that believe. And my God, encouragement for you today, if I have a word for you today, is the word works. It will prevail in your life. It'll overcome everything else that's in there. But you've not got to plan it. You've got to receive it. We've got to believe it. We've got to act on it. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Stay with us one as we go with the word and pray. Jesus. How many receivers this morning? Amen.
Amen.
We receive. Lift your hands to the Lord. Say, Father,
Father,
I come to you
in
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I am a believer.
Amen.
I am not a doubter.
Amen.
I stand on your word because it is your word. I thank you, Father, that you have spoken to me. The power of Jesus Christ that is in me, you have spoken to me. I receive your word. I plant your word. Your word grows in me exceedingly. And I give you praise that is prevailing in my life. In Jesus' name. Every other word is being put down and is not prospering. Your word will prevail in me. In the name of Jesus, I give you praise and glory. And I say amen.
Amen.
Get along.